So hi everybody, it's Elaine, and it's November 5th, November 21st. That tells you something about how quick November has gone for me. And we are here with the Parent Success System Coaches Group on Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock. And happy to check in with everybody on this week before Thanksgiving and see how everybody's doing, and then we'll move into our topic for the week. So I think we got about a half dozen or so people on the call, so just a quick bottom line check-in, and you know, how are things, and how's it going since the last call, and how'd your accountability go? Anybody who wants to start?
I can start. This is Joelle.
Oh. I heard Jack, Joelle, and then Rebecca.
Joelle, go ahead. Okay. Well, we actually had a pretty good week. My son turned 5 last week, and so he had a birthday party, and then 2 of his friends from school had a birthday party the same weekend, so it was really busy. He was very excited, but maybe all the excitement just gave him a good week, but we got the visual timer, and that has really worked wonders for him, just even getting dressed, or he can see how much time before we have to leave, and so it's worked out really well.
That's great. All right, thanks. Anybody else? Rebecca?
My son is now on a behavior chart at school, and based on that, we will think about whether or not we might want to adjust his medication, so I'm looking forward to possibly discussing that.
Great. So, and the school is cooperating and working well with you.
They created it.
Beautiful.
Because I asked them to.
Yeah, well, sometimes you don't get what you want if you don't ask for it, right?
Yep.
So that's great. Okay. Anybody else? Who else just wants to check in from last time? Christy was already telling me that she set up a reward system with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody else? Cheryl, Tracy, David. Is it Dave or David?
Either one's fine. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
I missed 2 weeks ago because I had business stuff, so I'm about a month behind.
Well, you know, one of the things, I love that you said that, so can I play off that for a second? One of the things I realized that I like about this structure is that, you know, we keep introducing new concepts and new ideas and everybody gets to play with them. But that doesn't mean that that's necessarily what's prominent for you right now with what's happening in your family. And what I'm noticing as I'm talking to many of you between calls and things, or between the groups, is that oftentimes you're picking a topic and then sort of sticking with it for a while. So there was somebody I was talking to recently, and she's still really actively paying attention to activate the brain, and someone else is really actively paying attention to shifting expectations. So I just want to reinforce that you're not behind. You may have pulled away for a couple of weeks, but wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. And whatever you're gleaning and learning from these calls and the writing and the reading and everything is all incorporated into what you're doing. It all sort of meshes together. So I just, you know, sort of want to remind you that this is a process, and you don't sort of do them one at a time. It's all about integrating all of it. And that's what we're seeing so many of you doing so successfully. It's really very, very refreshing and great to see. Before we sort of move into topics for today, anybody have any questions, concerns, anything you want to raise, or you know, one more check-in from the last topic?
How do you mute in case I have, like, a coughing fit? That's not
you have a coughing
terrible.
Fit and I hear you. I will happily mute you, and I think you can mute with star 6.
Okay.
But if I hear it and it's disruptive, I actually can see this speaker. I know where the noise is coming from, so I will thank
okay.
you for telling me. I will mute you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Anybody else? Cool. So let's take a little bit of time to take aim today before we get into our topic and identify what is it that y'all want to work on this week. Last time we talked about, as we were talking about systems and structures, there was a lot of conversation about, you know, structures in the house, getting dressed in the morning, being respectful of parents, getting projects done, setting reasonable expectations, that kind of thing. So what do you want to take aim on this week?
This is Tracy. I'll go.
Okay.
We have a hard time in our house right after school. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, moody and emotional and disrespect and that's the struggle in this house.
Okay, so you want to pay attention to what's happening right after school.
Mm-hmm.
And can you identify the change you'd like to see?
Less moody. No, just respectful.
So is it less moody or less or more respectful?
More respectful, yeah.
Okay. So, and it's an important distinction because, you know, sometimes they're going to be moody, but if we can teach them how to be respectful in their moods, then they
right.
get to be themselves, right? My son said to me this morning at breakfast, all my buttons are permanently pushed, so everybody just leave me alone.
How smart is he?
Say it again.
What? How smart is he to say that out loud?
I'm telling you, well, he's learned to say it, but that's what I mean. It's like he's allowed to be moody, but he's learned to do it respectfully.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there, I don't know if this is the proper time to ask you this question, but is there an explanation, like a one-minute explanation about why they're that way right after school? Is it because they've been trying to hold it together all day?
Yeah, often it's that.
Sure.
There are lots of reasons. It could be crash, could be energy, could be they need food, could be very often they've had no water all day. So it could be metabolic, but more often than not with our kids, they've been pulling it together, holding it together all day, and they need to just let it go.
Yep.
I have this really strong memory when my oldest kid was in seventh grade the first time. And literally, it was all I could do to get the van door closed before she would break into tears every single day after school. And it wasn't really that she was having a terrible year. She just needed to let it out every day.
Yep.
Right. So, okay, so Tracy, right after school, learning to be more respectful. Who else? Don't all jump at once. I know you guys don't want to talk all over each other, but I can generally hear who it is and put you in order. And, the sooner people jump in and participate, the more we'll get done on the call. So just a reminder.
This is Joelle.
Okay,
Joelle.
Go for it.
I don't know if this is something I can target, but one of the complaints the teacher has had or just concerns, you know, is keeping his hands to himself. And I think he doesn't even realize part of the time, but I don't know if there's a way that I can help her target that behavior or work on it with him at home.
Okay. Keeping his hands to himself.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Who else? What do you want to work on this week, gang?
Well,
where is everybody?
Rebecca.
Okay,
Rebecca.
Go for it.
So I guess I'm perhaps it's more about me than him.
Okay.
I want to make sure that I have the information I need to decide whether or not we should adjust the medication or not.
Okay.
And everything having to do with expectations and how he's doing in school, that sort of thing.
Okay, so this is about sort of the change you're looking for is to make a decision on medication adjustment. So you need to do some collecting of information.
Right.
Yeah, you're not going to make the decision today, but what do you need to do to be able to make the decision?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Okay, thanks. Anybody else? Sheila, Dave, Cheryl, Christy.
This is Christy. I was just going to go with, I can't remember who spoke first, but mine is the being more respectful, even in their moodiness.
Okay. Any particular time of day or any time?
It can be any time, but it's mostly in the morning before school when he hasn't had any meds yet, and then in the evening when it's worn off.
Okay. Great. Okay. Anybody else? Sheila, David, Cheryl?
Sheila.
Go for it.
This is Sheila.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to focus on also medication adjustment with Ethan. He mentioned that he doesn't feel fun when he's on his Adderall, so we are working on adjusting that.
Okay, so paying attention to medication adjustment. And is there also something here about helping him find the fun?
Oh, I haven't.
Okay, well, just sort of tuck it in the back of your mind and see what comes up today, okay?
Okay, fine.
Somebody has joined us from the Atlanta area. Who's with us?
It's Capra. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. Just want to get your name in here so I see who it is. Okay, so Capra, just to catch you up, where everybody's identifying what they want to take aim on in the next couple of weeks, what's the challenge area they want to work on. So I'll give you a minute to think about it while we hear from Cheryl and Dave, and then we'll come back to you, okay? So Cheryl.
I'm Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
Yeah. Hey, I feel really brain dead today, so I kind of didn't really have something, but you know what? Medication, what the lady just said about my daughter says the same thing about medication, that she's no fun on it, or like she misses, she's not her fun usual self. And, you know, to me, she's more fun on medication than the other way around. But it was just interesting to hear the same words kind of that she says. And she's taking her medication, but kind of complaining about it or not wanting to so much. So maybe that'll be my thing today is
okay.
The medication.
Perfect.
I forget what she said, taking aim.
Yep, to take aim
on it or
on just watching what's happening in the medication, considering adjustment, and then we'll sort of, again, the same thing, tucking in, like, what does it mean that she's not having fun, and how do we understand that better? Okay. And Dave and Tabra.
This is Dave. I'll go ahead. I actually took the time this morning and listened to your parent manual flash video.
Oh, great. Yay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I got to look at it again because there was a lot of information in there, but I think one of the things that I'm trying to do is try to keep it a little lighter and not so demanding of him, and one of the ones on parenting positively was kind of keeping humor in difficult situations or just kind of keeping humor in general.
Okay.
Because a lot of things that sometimes I get frustrated with him about are, in the grand scheme of things, are kind of minute and small, and so I've got to kind of keep that in perspective and keep it a little lighter.
Great. So you're focusing on lightening up.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and that's sort of the positive. The negative of it is choose your battles, right?
Right.
No, it's when it's important to push in and when it's not. Great. Okay. And Tabra, you got something you want to focus on this week? What do you want to take aim on?
Yeah, I actually would like to be consistent with or find the right motivators for him and be consistent with it. We currently have a ticket reward system in place that always seems to fall off. And, you know, maybe we just we're trying to work on too many things at one time, which after seeing your video, I need to understand that we really just need to work on small parts. So I need to work on a small part and find a motivator for it and be consistent with it.
Great. And that is a perfect segue. Thank you for handing me that. I love that.
You're welcome.
Because our theme for the day is motivation. So, and it's nice to hear that several of you have already listened to watch the video. Can I just indulge me for a minute and, you know, just any positive, negative feedback, was it helpful?
It was extremely helpful for me. This is Tabra.
Okay.
The breakdown of everything.
Great.
Really helped me process for what, not be overwhelmed.
Great. Lovely.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much. And Dave, it sounds like you got something out of it too. So.
Yeah, I mean, I actually wrote, took notes of it, and actually had to stop the video because I didn't take notes fast enough. So, but I want to go back and watch it again. It's short enough, and it's kind of a good overview of some areas to kind of, you know, challenge myself to think about and to work on, and to, you know, dive a little bit deeper into some of these areas as well.
Super, thank you. Well, and my request of you guys, if you're up for it after you watch it, if anybody would like to send us a testimonial, that would be great because, you know, as you know, it's a brand new product, so we don't have anybody who's said anything about it yet. So if you guys have anything, you know, short but any comments on it, we would appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, so let's get into today's topic, which is probably, you know, if I had to choose one thing and one thing only to deal with in the realm of ADD with kids, it might be this one topic. Because today's topic is motivation and finding motivators. And what I've really come to learn in the last couple of years is all of these other strategies are critical and they're important and they're helpful. And at the end of the day, with our kids, it comes down to motivation. And you might even say that ADHD is a deficit of motivation. It's not, you know, Diane talks a lot about not having the just get it done button. And our kids don't have that inner capacity to say, I need to do something just because I need to do it, right? And the way their brain is wired, and the way many of our brains are wired, we need something more than that to get something done. We need a why, right? We need a purpose. We need to understand what's behind what we're doing. For sometimes, some of us need to understand why so that we can see how it fits into a bigger picture, because some of us, it has to do with how we think. And sometimes it just has to do with how do we get ourselves going? How do we motivate ourselves? And I learned once, and I can't even tell you where I learned it anymore, But somebody taught me once that there are four motivators for ADHD folks, and I have added to it. I think there are five. So the five things that help people with ADHD find motivation are novelty, newness, right, competition, urgency, interest, and humor. And those five things are the places to look whenever you're trying to help somebody with ADD find their motivation. And I'm going to talk about two things here quickly, maybe a little longer than my usual little lesson, but I want to talk about the importance of motivation, what's happening there, and then these five areas. So the importance of motivation, as I touched on, is that their brain needs something to stimulate it to action. A lot of people with ADD, a lot of people with executive function challenges, have problems with initiation or activation of tasks. So to get started and going with something is a challenge. And then often sustaining that effort, keeping a focus, keeping attention can be really difficult. Both of those areas are huge challenge areas for people with ADD, and they can both be addressed with motivation. You either need the motivation to get going on something, you need the motivation to stay with something, or the motivation to complete it. And if you think about all of the challenges we have with our kids, it's usually starting with, ending with, or finishing a task in some form or another. So, you know, and for those of you who don't have ADD, it may seem like a duh, you just do it. But for those of us who do have it, we really need triggers, and I mean that in a positive way. We need some way, some impetus to get the stuff done. And a motivator is often the way to do that so that we understand what's important about what we're doing or being asked to do. Why are we being asked to do? Why do we care? So a reward system is a good motivator because the kids have something to care about. I hear a lot from adults who will then say, well, but we don't want to bribe our children.
We want them to learn to do it. And it's true, we do want them to learn to do things that they are responsible for the sake of it. But at the end of the day, the way our entire culture works is based on reward and follow-up. We don't go to work just because we love to work. We go to work because we get paid for it. And we do have a culture where we work for reward. We like the acknowledgement from our boss if we're at work. We like the acknowledgement from a teacher when a kid gets a good grade. So motivation doesn't always have to be tangible. It doesn't have to be candy or money or, you know, any of that. But all of us need a positive reinforcement. We need a reason why. We need a purpose for doing something. And when we have ADD, we need it even more. And I'm going to tell you about the five motivators, and then I'm going to tell you a story. So the five motivators, again, are novelty, competition, urgency, interest, and I think humor needs to go on that list. And not everybody with ADD is motivated by all of these five, but these are the five different ways that are most common for motivating people. Novelty has to do with something new, right? ADD is a challenge of boredom. We get bored really quickly. Our brains are moving fast, and so it's the shiny object syndrome, right? That's something new that captures your attention. So new can be very helpful. Competition works for some people with ADD, not everybody. If there's a lot of anxiety in the mix, sometimes it actually works against them. But for some kids in particular, they love the competition of how fast can you get undressed for bed, I can get this done before you can, I can beat you to the top of the stairs. You know, some kids are really motivated either by simple little competitions with each other or with you, and sometimes ultimately the competition with themselves. And that's the goal we want for those kids who are motivated by competition, is for them to begin to set expectations for themselves and to push themselves. So, and you probably know if you have a kid who likes to be the first one to get to the door, or you have a sense if that's an issue for your kid. The third one is urgency, and urgency has to do with, it's really coming from a different part of the brain. Oftentimes, what happens for people with ADD is that we wait to get something done until the last minute, because at the last minute, the prefrontal cortex in the brain is no longer in charge. The amygdala takes over, and you've got that fight or flight syndrome, right? And it can be an impetus to action. So at the last minute, then I can go get showered and get ready and go and be ready on time. If I know I only have 20 minutes to do it. But if I give myself too much time, I might get distracted. I might start doing other things. So sometimes we wait to the last minute because it's actually we're waiting for that hormonal trigger in our brain to give us that extra bit of adrenaline to get something going. So if you see your child, or if you tend to wait to the last minute to do something, and you're sort of beating yourself up for it a lot, which I know I did for years, I'm not suggesting that it be a regular coping strategy, but I do think it's important that we recognize that we are sometimes waiting for the last minute for a reason, and the reason is that we're trying to create an urgency. We're trying to get the adrenaline going. So sometimes we can look to other ways to get the adrenaline going so that we're not doing it at the last minute, or other ways to motivate so it's not last minute. So that's three. The fourth is interest. We do what we like. We do what's interesting. We do what's compelling to us. We do what we care about. And I remember in the early days of this awareness, when I used to get so angry at my husband, and I'd look at him and I'd say, "You don't do anything you don't want to do." And you know, obviously, the message was, "And it's not fair because I have to do it all." But it's true. It's very hard for us with ADD to do things if they're not interesting to us. Sometimes we have to seek the interest. We have to find it. And then, you know, as you touched on, Dave, I have added humor to this list because I really think that, and several of you today are talking about having more fun. Finding fun. Fun motivates people, and it's a particularly good motivator for people with ADD. And we tend to get sort of serious, and we have to do this, and we're required to do that, and we pull fun out of it. But what I found is when we put fun back into the equation of every aspect of our life, we can actually use it as a motivator to fulfill our responsibilities, and it can be really, really helpful. So here's the story, and I may have told you this story. Have I told you all this story of what I call superheroes to the grocery store? Has anybody heard that one? Okay.
I have, but I'll hear it again.
I'm going with
it. Yeah, you told it.
And did I tell them this group?
I think so.
Okay. So I'll do a summary of it then. Superheroes to the Grocery Store was about a year ago. My family was in town. We had had a death in the family. I needed my kids to go to the grocery store. And frankly, I needed them out of the house so that we adults could have a conversation. And they really didn't want to go, and I couldn't blame them because none of us wanted to leave the house, but we really needed them to go pick up something for dinner. And I turned to my oldest child, who was 18 at the time, and I sort of called upon her, and I said, I really need you to take your siblings to the door. Can you please get out of the house for a few minutes? And I watched her pause, and you could almost go down this list of novelty, competition, urgency, interest, and humor. And she paused, and she thought about it, and she sort of nodded at me, and then she looked at her siblings, and she said, okay, everyone, superheroes to the grocery store. And in that moment, they got interested. She started playing and got their humor up. She got the novelty going. They got a little competition going as to who could get into a cape and boxers quicker. And she sort of created this urgency about they got to get out of here and get to the grocery store. So within 5 minutes, the whole energy had shifted, and they were out and having a good time. And it all was about finding the motivation so that she could get herself activated and then ultimately get them activated to go to the grocery store. So I'm going to stop there. Questions, comments, thoughts? Motivation.
Well, I mean, that is exactly what I was discussing with my son this morning about being a good listener and some of the other things that are on that chart. And, you know, he was just very matter-of-fact, like, I'm only doing it for the money, Mom. And, you know, I'm, like, trying not to, you know, cry.
Right.
and hope, I'm sure there is some part of him that does want to just be good just for the sake of being good. But it's very hard because I don't want him only to be motivated by those things. And he does need – I don't know where do you come to the point where the external motivator is not the only thing driving them, I guess, if ever.
Well, I mean, I think part of what happens is that you want to get him into a habit. And once he gets into the habit, then you begin to pull off that motivator. And he may always need external motivators to get himself to do things.
Yeah.
If you look at the whole concept of languages of love, are y'all familiar with languages of love?
Mm-mm.
Okay,
yeah.
There's a webinar on the site which I would really recommend, and I know we may have sent it early on to everybody too, because it's a lovely, it's a really nice piece. And the languages of love is about identifying your child's love language and helping them and communicating with them and filling their love tank, as it's called. And there are five different languages of love, and one of them is physical touch. One is acts of service, words of affirmation, and I'm missing one. And then one of them is gifts or
yes.
Things. And some people are just really motivated by things. They like stuff. And that's just who they are. That's how they get and give the message, I love you. I mean, my mom is a gift giver. She always has a little something. And it took me a long time to realize that's really the way she says, I love you. And even though I don't really care about the stuff, because I'm an acts of service person, for her it really matters. And I have a son who really likes the stuff. And what I realized, Rebecca, is that I can pick up a rock on the way home and hand it to him and say, I saw this rock and I thought of you. And he's happy because I brought him a gift and because the gift meant I thought of you. So I don't want to derail too much on that, but some kids are stuff people.
And he'll grow into more over the years, but right now you want to get him into the habit. And if that's the motivation that works for him, then use it. My son runs cross country because he wanted to go to Yogli Mowgli on Fridays.
And that's what they do?
And that's what they did. And so I gave him a choice between karate and running, and he chose running because they go get ice cream on Fridays. They run to the ice cream store. And that was as good a reason as he needed to choose that. And it turned out he actually learned to like it. But I didn't want to worry about why he chose the motivation he chose. I just was happy that he had one, right?
Right.
So anybody else have any thoughts?
This is Christy.
Yeah.
I think the novelty, I mean, I understand that now, but I think that's been one of my frustrations, like trying to set up structures and systems. Because, like, once you get something to work, well, then it doesn't work anymore. Like with my son, because he needs something new all the time.
That's right.
And for someone who likes status quo, like me, it's so hard to keep finding something new for him that motivates him.
Yeah. Well, and you got to let him guide you in it, right, now that you understand it. And also, that's why we talk about setting up systems that have flexibility. So it may be that you have two different systems for one thing and that you go back and forth every couple of weeks, right? Because if he gets bored with brushing his teeth before dinner, I'm making this up totally, but before bed, you may want to do it after dinner, or I'm totally making it up, but you can sort of shift it enough to make it new again. Because that's the beautiful thing about those of us with ADD who have memory problems, is we can't really remember that we did that a couple of weeks ago anyway. Anybody else?
I have a question. This is Tabara again. As far as gentle reminders about, what if you have to do a gentle reminder about the motivator? Like, say, for example, my son is doing something, he gets off task, or he loses interest in whatever that's going to take him to the reward at the end. Should I say, hey, don't forget, you get to, you know, an extra half an hour on the computer or something?
Absolutely. You want motivators to be upfront and clear. You want to help him identify. You want him to begin to look for the motivators for himself. So, yeah, you want to make it really clear that, you know, remember, this is the reward. This is what happens when. This is what you're working towards. So that he's conscious that he's being motivated.
Okay.
Diane wrote a blog a while ago that I loved it because it was a conversation with her son where he was having trouble getting his homework done, and she said, "So what do you need?" And he looked at her and he said, "Mom, I need a motivator." And you know, it was ice cream after getting his work done or whatever it was, but it was him recognizing that he needed something to motivate himself in the first place. That was the real victory. So, who wants to get a little bit of coaching around your challenge area? And if we use motivators, great. If it comes up, great. If it turns out to be something else, that's fine too. Opportunity for free coaching, gang. Who wants a little coaching?
Me.
Who's me?
Rebecca.
Okay, Rebecca. So topic is decision on medication, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So what is, and the question is whether or not you should adjust it based on, so fill us in. What's the situation?
We upped his medication about a month ago, and he has been extremely inconsistent ever since. Some days he has a great day, and some days not so much. And so we decided to – I felt like we needed a daily check-in on how he was doing, because the weekly one I felt was not instructive enough.
Okay.
So we just started the daily one basically yesterday, and So I'm interested to see how it's going to progress. Let me
ask you a question. So you said you upped his medication and it's been erratic. He's been erratic since. Was it erratic before?
Probably. I don't know for sure because they were not tracking it before.
Okay. So, and this is only about what's happening during school, or is there a difference at home as well?
No, just in school.
Just in school. So I'm just trying to get really clear. So the medication is really focused on what his performance is doing in school.
Yes.
And have you noticed anything after school in terms of homework or any of that?
It's always difficult because the medication's completely gone by then.
Okay. So it's not changing anything in the afternoon?
No.
Okay.
It never has.
Okay. And so, yeah, it's a tough situation because you're trying to assess a change when you don't have real feedback on what it was like beforehand.
Right.
Okay.
Well, all I know is that it had been long enough on that dosage that we knew something had to happen.
So it had been long enough on the dosage because you were changing it just on sort of a sense that it wasn't effective enough?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So it sounds like you've got the systems in place to do some daily check-in and begin to monitor what's happening.
Yes.
So what do you feel like you need to know? What's the information piece that's still outstanding for you?
Well, I guess I know it's going to take more time, and the wrestling that I have is that, you know, I'm out of the current dosage, and I had already ordered the dosage that's higher, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have to go to this higher dosage anyway, which maybe it's not such a bad thing just to try it anyway. I just wasn't sure if we needed to go there or not.
So let me be clear. So you've already upped the dose once, and now the question is, do you up it again?
Correct.
But what you're saying is you don't really have any information to base this on.
Well, we do because he's been erratic for the past month.
But there's not information about whether that's different from the month before.
I won't have information on the month before that because, I mean, I would say there's been they did actually say there was small amounts of change, but not significant and not long lasting.
Okay, so there's been some change. And one of the things we know about these kids is that they're going to have energy regulation issues, and so they're going to be somewhat erratic. That's actually pretty typical, even on medication. But when it's working, it feels like it's a little bit better.
Right.
Okay, so what's the question you have?
The question I have is... Well, like I said before, I think it's more about me than about him. I'm anxious about upping the medication again and wondering
that if, what's the fear?
That it won't help.
So you're afraid it won't work?
Right.
Okay. So it's not that you're afraid you won't know if it's working or not. You're afraid that it won't work.
Right.
What if you don't?
What if I don't what?
What if you don't make a change?
Then I'll know that that's also not working for him.
Right. Okay, so if you don't make a change, it certainly won't work.
Right.
But if you do make a change, it might or it might not.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so what's your clarity there?
That making the change, as long as we're monitoring it to see if it's helpful and if it's working, is potentially positive.
Okay. So what anxiety remains?
I guess that actually it's, if you look at it that way, it is better. I agree.
Okay.
You see, I told you it was about me.
It usually is. It usually is. But this is, so the question that's coming up, the unspoken question is, what's your comfort level on a scale of 1 to 10 with giving your child medication?
If 0 is not comfortable at all and 10 is,
mm-hmm.
You have to set it up. Say it again. If,
yep,
okay,
no, you got
zero
it.
Is not, okay, if 0 is not comfortable and 10 is totally fine with it, I guess I'm a 5.
Okay. So what would an 8 look like?
I don't know.
Okay, what about a 6?
This, let me just say one thing. The thing that makes me uncomfortable about giving him the medication is that I have never seen a, since I'm not at school, I don't see the differences that are there that they
see. You give it to him
see.
On the weekends?
I have, but I have not seen a difference.
Okay.
And so I feel like I'm doing this thing that I'm at their mercy to say whether or not it's working. And
okay.
Knowing that if it's not, it's not just about the medication, because he needs to be aware of his actions, and, you know, it's not a magic bullet. So we do need to deal with the behavior, and
right.
There's more than just that. So that's what concerns me, is how
so
to deal with all the rest of it.
Here's what I'm hearing underlying, tell me if this is accurate, is part of you doesn't, you're not really sure this medication's making a difference at all.
Not the way that we all might wish it to.
Okay. Okay. So there's a piece here about having more confidence that if you're going to give him medication, you want to make sure that it's making a difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So what would increase your confidence?
Well, it sounds a little crazy, but I almost feel like to not give it to him at all for a couple of weeks and then to go back to it, just so that we know this is really doing something for him.
Okay. So, and I can't, obviously, I wouldn't advise you on that one way or the other, because I don't know
right.
What the medication is. But is that a conversation you'd feel comfortable having with, and are you using a pediatrician or a psychiatrist?
Pediatrician.
Okay. So, and that might be another place to look, is whether if you were working with a psychiatrist, you'd have more confidence in the process then. And I don't know, I'm not second guessing your pediatrician, but I do know that once we get into medication trials, once it gets more complicated than just try this med, that we tend to see people having a lot more success with a psychiatrist than a pediatrician.
Yeah.
So what's your comfort factor with your providing physician?
I'm comfortable. I'm sure she doesn't have the expertise that a psychiatrist would.
Okay. So what are the options for you?
The options are to check in with the school
mm-hmm.
after the medication goes up.
Okay. So one option is to increase the medication and continue the
right.
check-in with the school.
Right.
What else?
One option is to go ahead and get a prescription for the current dosage.
Okay. So to stay on this one for
that.
Another month.
Month, right.
And monitor that.
Right.
What else?
I mean, those are the two that I'm looking at this point.
You mentioned having a conversation with your provider and taking him off all medication for a time.
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. It's possible.
Okay. I just want you to be, I want you to be able to make a decision based on all of your options.
Okay.
And that's one of them, because you wouldn't have brought it up if it wasn't on your mind.
That's true.
So if you brought it up, it's a legitimate option. I'm not saying you should choose it or not.
Right, I understand. Right.
But, right. So the three options really clearly are to talk to your provider about pulling back to see what sort of stasis looks like for him.
Right.
Staying with the course with the same medication dose and monitoring it, or increasing the medication dose and monitoring it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth I would throw in there is to, as you're going through this, to sort of gut check and find out whether you feel like it's time to move to a psychiatrist or whether you're comfortable staying with the provider you're with.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a decision, but now that you're clearer on your options,
yeah,
what's your motivation for making this decision?
Well, can you clarify what you mean by what's my motivation?
Yeah.
Do I want to do it?
Yeah, what's most important to you about this decision you need to make?
That what I decide ultimately enables him to become a successful learner.
Okay. All right. So this is about helping him learn.
Yes.
And so what comes up as I hear you say that is, you know, there's that short-term view and the long-term view, right?
Yeah.
And so long-term, we want him to become a successful learner. In the
mm-hmm.
short-term, what's important about the next month or two?
I'm not sure.
Okay. It's hard. I mean, it's a hard question. But that's where I think I'll leave you with this conversation is to sort of have that inquiry for yourself. And an inquiry is often a question that we leave at the end of coaching to sort of ponder, because a lot of the work of coaching happens in between the sessions, right? So you know in the long term why you're giving a medication and what's important to you, and it's about your values around education.
Right.
And in the short term, you're trying to manage this adjustment. And I know that, and I'm happy to see you guys have a forum conversation about this, because everybody lately has been dealing with medication adjustments. So this is an issue that resonates with everybody on this call in some way or another.
Right.
And so when we make these decisions, we need to understand what are we making them based on. And it's, you know, you get the long-term goal for yourself. But in the short term, what's most important for you to manage this process with him? What's important for him and what's important for the family?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something for you to just sort of ponder a little bit. I'm not sure you can answer it here. Will you take that as an inquiry?
Yep.
Okay. And feel free to post it on the forum and write it out and let people interact about this, because I really think that there's a lot of juicy stuff here, and you are absolutely not alone in this struggle. Would everybody else agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So thanks, Rebecca, for taking the space with that. I know it's a hard one, and I'm sorry there's no clear resolution today, but what do you feel like you focused on? And while she's answering this, remember everybody else, in terms of your own topic and motivation, what do you feel like you focused on in the call today?
It definitely helped me see those options that I have to take, and even one of them being calling the pediatrician and getting a new prescription for the lower dose, and I hadn't really come to that yet.
Great. And so what's your clarity from this call, from this conversation?
To remember to really look at all the possible options.
Great. Yeah, even the ones that don't appear to be options on the surface.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. And so what action do you want to commit to from here?
I am going to think about the short term that you talked about in terms of what was my motivation, and I'm going to try to relax about the daily sheet that's being taken and just trust that it will work out.
Great. Love that. And here's what I want to offer you for that, is that this is one of those times where the marathon view really helps. Right? You are in this for the long haul. Medication management is complicated, and it takes several months. It takes months. Oftentimes, it's very, very rare to have it be one thing and then the med's done. It takes process. So be patient with the process and take the long view. Okay?
Yep.
And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
When I look at his daily sheet, I don't want that to be some kind of values judgment on him or on me.
Great. So what are you going to do?
I am I'm just going to look at it, even though I may look at it every day, I'm going to try to look more at the trend.
Great. So the word that's coming up for me is matter of fact. And what I'd like to see you do is just write down on a big piece of paper or a piece of construction paper or something, just matter of fact. And just treat it matter of factly. Don't imbue
right.
a ton of meaning and heaviness, right? Keep it light and keep it matter of fact. And take that big picture view. Okay?
Yep.
Cool. Great.
Thank you.
So, anything else for you?
Nope.
Great. So, anybody else want to share? We focused on, what did you focus on today? What's your clarity? And then what commitment do you want to make? What action do you want to take? And what will set you up for success with it. So is there anybody who wants to share what you want us to pay attention to with you for the next couple of weeks in terms of accountability?
Mine was with Caleb, you know, being more respectful, even in his moodiness. And it's okay to have his feelings, but to teach him to find a way to be respectful. So what clear about today is what will motivate him to be respectful. You know, I've got to find something that he sees the importance of it. And I bought the Minimize Meltdown program.
Right.
And I haven't really got to work on it, so that's kind of my next action step is, I need to work on that because I'm sure there will be tools in there that will help me teach him to be more respectful even when he's melting down.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Set myself up for success. I need to put it on my calendar, schedule
Great.
It. Because when I just wait to see, oh, I'll have time today, you know, I don't have any time. So
Great.
Getting it on my calendar.
Okay, so you're going to put Minimize Meltdowns on your calendar to start doing the thing. And I just want to, for any of you who assume the first few modules are a little more theoretical, so you may get a little frustrated if you want to dive in. So plan to do the first three or four sort of in a row or quickly, because they're more sort of setting the stage for you. And I don't think it'll be as hard for you because you've gone through the, you're doing the coaching here, so you'll have a lot of these questions already answered. And then the other thing I want to offer you, Christine, for several of you on the call, is the expression of the term that I use with my kids a lot is, do you have a nicer way to say that? Or do you have a different way to say that? And to begin, rather than to say, don't speak to me that way or get down on them for it, to just open up a way to say, wow, can you say that in a different way? Or do you have a different way to ask me that? And begin to teach them, actually wait for them to say it again. And teach them a way to say it, because sometimes they don't even realize how rude they're being. Okay. Anybody else?
I actually have a question, because I'm not totally clear on how I'm going to get Kay to keep his hands to himself at school. But, I mean, I'm wondering if there's a resource to help create, like, behavior charts and things, or if I should just, like, give that to the school to do, or... I feel like that is probably the best
thing. I think it's probably a great idea. There are, I mean, post something on the forum, and I'm sure people will respond to you with some ideas. I definitely, does he have a 504?
Not yet. I'm actually, he's been evaluated, and we meet next week to talk about.
Okay, so that's where I would look to it.
504
IEP. So definitely go on the site and look for, you know, type in 504 IEP or any of that, and look for any of the pieces about at school. But okay. I would incorporate that into your 504 conversation.
Mm-hmm. And doing behavior plans or charts or whatever.
Yep. And then you can start with him with a conversation of, you know, this is something that's important that we want to see you working on, and let him know that it's his focus and that he's going to be acknowledged when he does well, and you know begin to set the expectation for him. Instead of the keep your hands to yourself,
right?
You're wrong. Set it as a positive. Mm-hmm. I know you can do this. I know it's really hard, but I bet you can do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So get his buy-in, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Do you want to commit to this week, gang?
This is David. I talked about humor in mind, but one thing that I know that I've got to do with my son, and this is kind of going back to activate the brain, but I've got to get him a little more active just physically. I think it'll help him in a lot of different areas.
Great.
You know, a lot of times, I mean, you know, when he comes home from school, I don't deal with him as much as, even though I work out of the house. She's usually downstairs dealing with him and all the different homework. And we've put some things in place, you know, let me give you an example. He has to do spelling words every week, and it is a challenge getting him to write spelling words because it's not interesting to him as one of those motivators that
right.
you mentioned there. And so we've kind of broken it up into component or pieces saying, let's do 5 to 10 one day, 5 to 10 the next day. And, oh, by the way, if you get to do that, you get to play on your DS, you get to play on the computer, whatever it may be. But as part of that, I think I've got to get him out there just being a little more physical and doing some physical things because a lot of times his motivation is he'll go play on his DS, play on the computer, or watch television once his homework is complete. And that's fine and good for a period of time. But I think that's just something I know that I need to do as a father is I've got to get him out more active. His older brother he did his homework and I don't see him until dark, which these days is pretty soon. But he's
right.
a lot different that way. So that's one thing I've got to do with him.
Okay.
I think that
so getting him more physically active.
Correct.
Great. Love it. Anybody else? And have fun doing it too, right, Dave?
Oh, yeah, we've got the pull-up bar, and I try to get both of them on the pull-up bar at night. So,
yeah, you might try a little competition, not between them, but with you.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't do it between them. That would not be good.
Yeah. Okay.
So anybody else before we close for the day? What do you want to commit to, or what action do you want to take from today? Going. Okay. All right, well, thanks for joining us, everybody, today. If you have any questions or follow-up, I just want to remind you and encourage you to use the forum and talk to each other. I think it would be great to have a conversation going about, like, what do you need to pay attention to in terms of this medication management issue. So I'd love to see you start that, Rebecca. And,
okay.
And this other issue, Cheryl and somebody else came up with it about the fun, Sheila. About finding fun and helping the kids find the fun. That would be another great conversation to have on the forum. And let's see what people use and how people are addressing that issue. Okay. So have a great week, everybody. If you need anything, email, call, whatever, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Have a wonderful
great. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
You. Bye.